I'd like you to put your hand up if there is someone that you know who's like a person of peace, someone that's a friend, someone who you would consider that that kind of likes you and you like them, but is someone who needs to know the light of Christ in their lives. Hands up if you know someone like that. If someone comes to mind straight away. Yeah, I would have thought that there'd be a lot of... Well, this is a sermon for you. This is about how we can be that light of Christ to them. In fact, this whole series has been about that. It's about living surprising ways. This is the last time I get the chance to show this picture, and I really like this one. that we're called to live in surprising ways. The way that Mike Frost says it is to live questionable lives. Now, that's not morally questionable. That means questionable as in ways that people go, why are they like that? Why are they so generous? Why are they so forgiving? Why are they so... Why doesn't stuff just sort of hurt them as much as what it hurts other people? Why aren't they full of anger like others? I've had that just recently this week. Talked to me and they noticed a long time ago while I was playing hockey with them that I wasn't someone of anger, but they were, and they've got to know me and we've got to know each other as a result of that. Simply that. There was something surprising. So how are we living surprising ways? So we've been encouraged to bless, to eat, to listen, to learn, and today we're looking at being sent. And the homework is to go at the end of the week to journal throughout the week, actually, all the ways that you have been alerted to the universal reign of God through Christ. In other words, all the ways that you have seen the veil of this world lifted and the kingdom of God just shining through. And it might be in terms of some beauty that you never saw there before, or the way that you were used to bring hope and healing, or just a sense of joy and laughter to someone else. What are those ways that you've been used by God to be the sent one? And to journal those and go, actually, you know, I am in that my everyday life, I am like a missionary. I'm on mission. And missionaries don't have to be people that we send to far-flung countries, but missionaries can be like David, just down the street. Can be like you and me. Can be like us going into a coffee shop. So today we're talking about being sent ones. How are we being used? What is our identity as someone who is sent by God to help bring someone out of darkness into light? I don't know what you think about your identity. Are you someone who you can go, okay, we played a song right at the start about being a child of God. Yep, I can relate to that. I love being an adopted child of God. That just fills my cup. That's the sort of identity I want to relate to. Not the identity that everyone else gives and puts on me. Not the identity that my own negative self-talk gives me all the time, but I want to be a child of God, loved by God, made in God's image, sent here for a purpose. And that's the next part of being a child of God, is that identity is one who is sent. That's what I want to talk about today. I wonder, do you value invitation? Can we have that as a value here at Burnside City? Can we be people of invitation? What do I mean by that? I've got a friend of mine, Andrew Robertson. I've got permission to tell his story. He said, yes. Some of you may know Andrew. He's a minister in the Uniting Church, ordained at the same time as me, good friend. And he became a Christian through quite a remarkable story, actually. He was running with a friend of his, and he was a triathlon once upon a time, a professional triathlete, and he would run regularly with this mate of his. They jogged together, and his friend was a Catholic, But he just, every time he ran past this church, he just got this sense that he should go in there sometime. He was not a Christian. His parents weren't Christians. He knew nothing about Christianity, about Jesus, about the gospel, about anything to do with that kind of stuff. He wouldn't have considered him even a spiritual person. But he had this sense that every time he ran past this church, he should go in there. They kept running together years after a few years, and then just one time he just said to his mate, look, I think I need to go in there. I don't know why, but I just think I need to go there. So it was a Sunday morning, so I went in there. I'm not sure if I'm telling this story exactly accurately, but I imagine him going in there with his sweaty clothes and like sitting in the back pew. I don't know if that actually happened. But he's sitting there and he hears this message of God, and he says that actually as he came in there, he went, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is who I'm supposed to be. And he very quickly just absorbed the Bible. He read through it and he went to classes and colleges and he learned Jesus, just absorbed it really quickly. But he went to his friend who he'd been running with for all those years, running past the church, even had mentioned to his church, I think I'm supposed to go there. His friend was a Catholic and he said to him, why did you never invite me to church? Why had no one ever invited me to church? He was now the age of like 22, 24, I think it was. And no one had invited him to church. He just had to, in fact, God had such a hold in his life that the only way he was to compel him every time he ran past this church was Hope Valley, to come in. Because there was no one there to invite him. Even his friend who he ran with, he said to his friend, you know, if you'd invited me, I would have come. I would have loved to. I want to know about this stuff. I want to know about everything. And he's got it now as his mission. He was a minister at Mount Gambier for a while, and he put as a vision for his church to invite, to make sure that within 5 years, every single person in Mount Gambier had an invitation to know the gospel, to know Jesus. Everyone had the invitation. That's not to saying everyone comes to know Jesus. No, the invitation. If we don't invite, then God's got to do some supernatural, remarkable things to get us there. But he would like us to be the invitation. So can we be people of invitation? Now, when it talks about invitation, there's this story that comes up. Luke 14, which is what Nicole had the drama do. And this is the second part of something we've already read here in this church a while ago. No, not too long ago, actually. Where Jesus was having a meal, yes, he's having a meal again, at these Pharisees' place with these experts in the law, and they're asking him some questions, and then Jesus starts to tell them that, you know, when you have a meal like this, don't just invite the friends that are just going to pay you back. Why don't you invite the poor and the crippled and the lame and the blind, and then you'll be blessed. And he finishes by saying, although they cannot repay you, you'll be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Can you just imagine being in that kind of environment where you've invited this special guest preacher kind of person, this special guest, to sit there, have a meal with you, and one of the first things he does is go, actually, you've invited all the wrong people. Can you imagine how awkward that would be in your kind of dinner tables? I don't know if it would be awkward in my dinner table. If the person that you've invited for everyone to get to know has just suddenly said to you, you're doing it all wrong, you've invited all the wrong people, and actually you may think you're righteous, but I don't think you are. Can you imagine the awkward silence that might have come up after that? So in this kind of awkward silence, it says, one at those of the table with him, when he heard this, he said to Jesus, blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. I see this as like a little moment of, how do I just break this awkwardness right now? It's really strange here now. Jesus just said this and it's a bit angsty. There's all this food. I'll mention the food. Isn't it great how we'll all be blessed at the kingdom of heaven? Because it'll be like this banquet here. He's thinking, I've saved the day. But then Jesus tells a story about this and continues on with his message. He uses this awkward moment to actually do a teaching moment. And that's what we're required to do all the time when we eat with people. Use awkward moments, use good moments to keep teaching, to keep sharing Jesus with others. So it goes on and says that there's this great banquet. So heavenly banquet, he's already talking about the heavenly banquet there. And there's invitations that go out. But you know the story. The invitations, they don't get accepted. They're all these poor excuses like, I've bought some oxen and I've just got to try them out. Now, you wouldn't do that. You would try them out before you buy them. It's not like they had eBay back then. He didn't like look it on the internet, then purchase it, and then had to pick it up. You would go and you'd look at it if you were sensible about it. He's talking about rich people here, isn't he? People who have oxen, people who have a house, people who have possessions. And what are they putting in place of sitting at the heavenly banquet? They're putting their possessions. And then there's this married couple. And you might think, oh, maybe that's fair enough. They're putting even relationships before coming to know Jesus, sitting at the table where they could experience the best relationship and other relationships. So then he says to his servants, you know, you just, they're not coming, you've been rejected, all right, just go in and get, and it's the same list that he's given just before. The poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Go bring them in. Now, the thing is, if those people accept that invitation and start sitting at that table, what happens to the people who are already sitting, who have already been invited, that his friends and family that are already going to be there? If you rock up and you suddenly see crippled, lame, blind sitting at the same feast that you're supposed to be in, when you knew that there were all these other guests that were supposed to be invited, it's suddenly like the status level of that party goes down, doesn't it? Question for us, are we willing to sit at the table with all those people? At the heavenly banquet, that's what it's going to be. Are we willing for that to happen? But I'll keep moving on. So they get invited, they come, and then there's more room. So he says, just go out past the city, go out to the highways and the byways, and bring as many people as you possibly can. Invite them. In this story, we're two characters, I think. I think most of us, if we look at it, we're probably two sorts of characters in that story. We're the ones who are invited, and that invitation is for every one of us. I hope you get that message from that. Everyone is invited to the table. Doesn't matter who you are, what your status is, what you've done, you're all invited to the table. The second thing is, we are like the servant as well, aren't we? We are the one giving the invitation to others. We're both the invited and the living invitation, the sent ones. And if you think about this as our identity, there's other ways that is described throughout the New Testament. And one of them I really love, and I won't get into too much of it, but one of them I love is the aroma of Christ. We are the aroma of Christ. The perfume of Jesus. Not like a stinky, yucky perfume, but a beautiful perfume. And it's a perfume that should linger and hang around and should be inviting. Throughout Jesus' ministry, he sent people out. Send them out. Go into the streets. Go on and tell people about what's going on. And bring them back. It's kind of like singing telegrams. Has anyone ever had a singing telegram before? No one? Oh, yes, one person. Excellent. I was nearly going to set up a singing telegram here. It was Andrew Brzezinski. They're all sick. It was Andrew Brzezinski's birthday and also Charlie's. And they would have been super embarrassed if we did it. It would have been quite funny for us. I actually had a little singing telegram business in high school. On the side, I was making money for some charity, I think, but it was a way to get to know a friend of mine. And we used to get together. We used to be employed by people who from certain classrooms to go and do a singing. We'd make up our own song. We'd burst into the classroom and we'd give them a birthday cake and a bit of a present, and we'd sing a song that we'd made up, "Happy Birthday," and then get everyone else to join in with "Happy Birthday." It was quite neat. That's the idea. Now, why am I talking about singing telegrams? The thing about seeing telegram is it's the telegram itself isn't the person who wants to send the message, is it? It's the person who actually hired them. And they're going on their behalf, doing it in person, and giving good news. If you look at the history of singing telegrams, they were brought about because most of the telegrams that were being sent back in those days were kind of this person died. It was in the... they were sad things. So they went, okay, how can we make them happy? Singing telegrams. We're singing telegrams for God, aren't we? Singing telegrams for Jesus. Personally sent to go personally to someone to bring them joyful good news. If you read the rest of Luke 14, and I encourage you to do so, you've got a very wide invitation that has been sent, okay, to everyone, the crippled, the lame, the poor, all those out in the streets, even those who aren't even in the city. But then it goes on and says the cost of discipleship in the next part of the chapter. It says, you know, unless you take up your cross and follow me, unless you give up everything, you cannot be my disciple. It's interesting that that in Luke's gospel we see this very open invitation, so broad, but yet this quite narrow challenge of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a disciple. And I've got a picture of, anyone know what that is? Melbourne, yeah, Melbourne. It's the Arts Centre in Melbourne. And it has a really broad base, but this very, very narrow high spire. I think it's a bit of an image of what's going on in this chapter. Jesus is sending out a wide invitation. We're required to give that wide invitation to others, to all people. But yet even within that, once you sit around the table and you get to know Jesus, you realize that actually the cost of discipleship is actually pretty high too. It's a challenge for us to think about. I won't go into too much more about that today. But I'd like to finish with a story which summarizes this whole series of Bless, Eat, Listen, Learn, and Send. And something that I heard this week at a discipleship conference from a Baptist church in Crossways Baptist in Melbourne, actually. And this is a very large church, and this was about this couple. It was a Chinese couple. They'd been living in Australia for a while. And the pastor himself described them as there was nothing exceptionally standout-ish about this couple. They were wonderful, beautiful people of God, but they weren't people that you saw on stage that you would sort of say, oh, they're going to be great leaders for this and that. They were ordinary Christians doing ordinary things. And this couple, on Friday nights, they noticed that there was a bunch of Chinese people meeting in this certain place in a suburb just near them. And so they listened to the Spirit, they knew that they were sent, and they started to hang out with them. And while they were hanging out with them, they realized, actually, you know, what would really be good is if I bring some food. So the next week they bought some food, and in Chinese culture, that just like was gold for them. So they bought some food, they ate with them. See, eat. And after a while of hanging out on Friday nights, they realized that there was a need here for English as a second language classes, ESL. So they said, oh, does anyone want to do some ESL classes? And there was a bunch of people that said yes. So they started running these English as a second language classes with them. Blessing. Bless. And what they did is they did like a 40-minute class. And then they said, now, you can go if you want, but if you want to hang around for 20 minutes, we're just going to practice reading the Bible together if you want to stay. So they started learning Jesus. They read the Bible together. Moved forward about 6 or 7 months, and it's now Christmas time. The church there is putting on a big Christmas service, and they're asking for people to invite friends along to it. So this couple, and the church knew nothing about what this couple was doing. this couple said, "Oh, look, would you mind getting a bit of transport for us? We've got a few people that might be interested in coming." "Oh, yeah, how many people?" "150. "Got 150. Have you got transport for 100? So 150 people come to this Christmas service. A few weeks later, there's baptisms, and there's more baptisms later again. A ministry that happened. And in fact, now, today, one of that couple, I think it's the lady, she's on staff at that church, and they've actually planted a church in that area for these people. That's the power of just simply listening to the Holy Spirit. It's the power of knowing that you're the sent ones here. No one else is going to do it. It's the power of eating together, of blessing others, and learning Jesus. We're all the sent ones here. We're all the invited and the living invitation. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the identity that we find in you, and it's not found by what the world says about us or even our own self-talk. But its identity as children of God, the living God, the one that we talked about at the start of this service, the one who loves us so deeply. Well, Lord, help us to take hold of the identity as being the sent ones into this world. Being your light, your hope, your beauty, your joy. Glimpse of the heavenlies through us. Let us take hold of that by the power of the Spirit. For those people that we remembered right at the start of this sermon when we put up a hand and said, "Yes, we know people. We know people that need your light." Give us courage. Give us the energy. Give us the creativity. Let us see you in action. In Jesus' name we pray, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.